You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
So our reading this morning is taken from Mark 9 and verses 14 through to 29. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" Jesus asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "You unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," Jesus said, "everything is possible for one who believes." Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" Jesus replied, "This kind can only come out by prayer." I really love it when I'm preparing a message and then God reveals something to me that seems to tie things together in a way which I hadn't first seen. And this is also reinforced by the message the following week. Now, for those that gathered last Sunday, we opened the service with a song that was called "This I Believe." It's the Apostles' Creed. And I realised then that God wanted to speak to us about what is it that we believe? What is it that we believe? And the message last week focused in on this. And even the closing song asked us to repeat those words, "I believe, I believe." So I was reading through the Bible passage for this week's message that you listened to a moment ago. And actually, my focus was really in on verse 23, where Jesus is saying, if you can, to Jesus, if I can really do this, look, anything or everything is possible for one who believes. And that's where I was going with this message this week. So you could imagine how eye-opening it was as I continued into verse 24. And we read there, immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe, I believe, I believe, I believe," as we said last time. But help me overcome my unbelief. Now, I don't want to get too focused this week on the specific healing that Jesus does. But let's just take some key points from this portion of scripture. And particularly today, as you're listening online and we're unable to gather as church, how do we apply this? And also in the light of the messages that we've been listening to over the last couple of weeks. Now, actually, over the last 2 weeks, we've been looking at examples of how we can positively press into the anything's possible idea, which is obviously the name of this series, and how it can encourage us to reshape our thinking about how we feel about absolutely everything. Now, last week, we looked at that power that is in us. And with Christ in us and us in Christ, we should be able to do the Christ-like things too. We also looked at reshaping our thinking to be Christ-like as well. And we were encouraged, weren't we, with prayer and thanksgiving. We get a beautiful exchange with God where he takes our troubles and in return, he gives us his peace. And lastly, I wanted us to take away a picture of us living in God's kingdom. And therefore, we're living in a completely different realm. And while we might think there's lots of stuff that can overcome us, and we're probably thinking that and worried about our future, in these situations, we can shine. We don't get overcome. Our light doesn't get put out. We can have a different perspective to everybody else around us as Christians. I don't know if you can remember that. If you look back over one of the messages last week, I shared that video with the candle and the glass. And as that glass is filled up with water, from one perspective, it looks like the water is going to fill up. As it fills up, it's going to put the light out of the candle that's in the glass. But as the water gets to the top of the glass, we see the candle is still alight. And we kind of go, well, how did the light not get put out, or the flame not get put out by the water? And the reality is when you shift to a different perspective, the candle wasn't actually in the glass, it was behind the glass. If the candle was in the glass, of course, it would be impossible. But the candle was not in the glass. The light, the flame, was not put out. And as Christians, we need to understand this too. We live in a different realm. We are no longer in this world, but we are passing through. And our light can continue to shine to all around. And say, come, let's leave this world behind. So where does that leave us this week? Now, I really don't want to err on the side of negativity this week, but actually verse 24 is actually a really honest summary of how a lot of us feel sometimes, probably even most of the time. Those wonderful words. Yeah, I believe. And you may be saying it even now. Look, I believe there's a God, but I don't know all this other stuff. So help me overcome my unbelief. And if you thought you were the only one to think that, then this is where the Bible reveals something that is common to all of us, whether we're Christian or not. Yes, Christians do say that. I believe, Lord, but help my unbelief. And maybe this helps us to understand what all this toilet roll panic buying is about. Now, I know I don't need them. I don't need all these extra toilet rolls. I can believe that. But help my unbelief. My trolley is full of them just in case. Now, I don't want to really give flippant examples there because I know people are worried about lots of things at the moment. But actually, in our moment of weakness, there is a sinful side to each and every one of us. And it can come to the front. It can manifest in the most extraordinary of ways, of which Paul picked up on this again last week with our anxious thoughts. We agreed that many of us can have anxious thoughts. Yes, Christians too have anxious thoughts. And Paul knew this, and this is why he puts this in the Bible, because he's real with us. And it comes back to our key verse this morning, which comments on from what Jesus was saying, the Father was saying to Jesus in verse 22. But if you can, Jesus, if you can you can do anything. I know this. And how did he know this? Well, of course, the Father must have heard about Jesus. He probably knew Jesus could do all these amazing healings. And he'd come to Jesus because he's heard of this hope or this truth that has been going around. But then probably once he was there before Jesus, the anxiety kicked in. The unbelief or the fear manifest itself. And then the man hedged his ask and he put this if statement in. Oh, Jesus, if you can. Now, again, as I was preparing for this message, I do all sorts of different bits of research and various things pop up to the surface. And actually, there was a reading from a Daily Bread back in 1992. And it's very interesting, this thought of if, where the Father says if. And the title of that day was Misplaced If. So this is what this Daily Bread said from 1992, the misplaced if. The man whom Jesus spoke these words had a son with a mute spirit, as we read about ourselves. Having just seen the disciples powerless to cast out the spirit, the father doubted whether their master could help him. Therefore he said to Jesus, "But if you can do anything, if you can do anything, if you could do anything, Jesus, have compassion on us and help us." Mark 9:22. Now, there was an if in his plea, but the poor, trembling father had put the if in the wrong place. You see, Jesus didn't command him to retract the if, but he put it where it belonged. He seemed to say there should be no if about my power or willingness. The if lies somewhere else. Jesus countered the father's if with another if. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. The man's trust was strengthened, and he humbly asked for help to overcome his unbelief, and instantly Jesus spoke the word, and the boy was healed. Like this man, we often see an if in relation to our problems, and we too put it in the wrong place. If Jesus can help me overcome this sinful habit, if Jesus could help me overcome this, if Jesus could help me overcome that, if he can change my life. No, the real issue is if we, you and I, can believe. Jesus both can and will respond. The Daily Bread finished with this conclusion. It says, "Is there something you know is God's will for your life but have doubts? If that's so, maybe you've misplaced your if." Now, I hope that's useful to you. And as I read through that myself, I thought, yeah, actually that does ring a bell. I sometimes too put those ifs in the wrong place. Do you pray with those ifs? I'm sure we all do. So the challenge to us this week is that we move on from the ifs and move into the anything's possible state of mind. We need to exercise faith and change it from if God can to if I can believe. And in that moment, then we'll see he's both able and willing. And this is what the Father and the Son experienced in our reading today. Now, I did struggle to get my mind around some of this, so bear with me as I think this out aloud and together this morning. But Jesus was able to demonstrate his power because of the man's unbelief. And yet Jesus said that because of the Father's desire to overcome the unbelief, it was on this belief, not the unbelief, but on the belief that Jesus then performed a healing. Now, that made my head hurt at first because it's almost one of those chicken and egg type questions. What came first, belief or the unbelief? Or was it both and it just kept switching? Whatever it was, I think that the thing that set the Father and Son apart from most of those that were gathered in that crowd there that day was the fact that they knew without a doubt that they couldn't achieve anything on their own. And actually the only one they could turn to was Jesus. Now, if we pause for a moment and just think, just imagine you are in that crowd. You too might identify with some of these types of people. Just imagine that crowd, look around you now. There's the other nine disciples and they've tried and they think they're powerless. There's the teachers of the law and they're having a go trying to trip Jesus up at every opportunity and the disciples. And now suddenly a large crowd has pressed in around us. And we know from verse 16 that there was definitely some arguing going on. Now we know that the teachers of the law were always trying to trip Jesus up, as I said a moment ago. They were always there trying to prove that they had the truth and that Jesus was a fraud. And it may be that you know people like that. And you see, if Jesus had challenges too, there was always someone there trying to trip him up, then we should not be surprised as Christians that we might have similar challenges too. And that this can actually lead us or distract us towards unbelief. It may be for the first time that you thought, well, actually, what is this God stuff all about? And you're looking into it, but actually somebody say, oh, you don't want to believe all that rubbish. Unbelief suddenly kicks in. It's a very real thing that you and I will face. And actually, without other people around, our minds can say, is that really true? Is that what I'm really thinking? Now, I wonder if this unbelief actually had gripped the disciples too. By the sounds of it, they had driven out many impure spirits before, but on this occasion it didn't work, and this must have really pleased the teachers of the law. Of course, hey, we've got the disciples this time, they can't do it. But I think in this sphere of the unbelieving teachers and maybe the unbelieving disciples and an unbelieving father and a son, Jesus is able to come and show his true power. Not only can he heal, but more importantly, he can take our unbelief and turn us into believers. We read in verse 28, after Jesus had healed the boy, it says, Jesus had gone indoors. And then his disciples asked him privately, yeah, we're still by you there, Jesus, but and we know all this stuff's true, but why can we drive it out? Of course, they wanted to go deeper with Jesus. They realised maybe there was some kind of blockage. And again, for them too, they're in that place where they realise only Jesus had the answer. Now, like the Father and the Son, the disciples had to reach the point in themselves where they realised they totally needed an answer from Jesus. And Jesus replies to their question in verse 29. Look what he says. He says, this kind can only come out by prayer. Now, again, we could get caught up on the specifics of what Jesus means by this reply. And we'll pick this up in a moment, but I don't want us to lose the key focus of the message this morning, which is there back in verse 23. If you can, says Jesus, everything is possible for one who believes. So do you see this morning, if we believe that God is able, then anything's possible. Anything's possible with God. And to draw on the previous message again, is my spirit united with his spirit? Think of that picture. Christ lives in me. Then when I believe, there is no blockage for Christ's power to be made perfect. It can be made perfect in my weakness. I just want you to flick, if you can, to another passage in the Bible, 2 Corinthians 12. This is a great passage, and some of you will know this well. Certainly when I speak about Paul's thorn in the flesh, you'll go, oh yes, I remember reading this. 2 Corinthians 12, and I'm going to pick this up in the middle of verse 7. And it says this, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, Paul says, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And again, we start to see a topsy-turvy picture that this world would reject. My power or power is made perfect in weakness. No, I want power and strength and authority and success. I don't want to be poor. I want to be well. I want to be healthy. But to have all these things, that's what this world goes after. The kingdom of God is manifest in me in a different way. It's actually the complete opposite. If I want to see God's power at work, then God's power is actually made perfect in weakness. And Paul says that God's power is made perfect in his weakness. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. So what are the weaknesses that Paul speaks of in verse 9? Well, let's look at verse 10, because he's got some very specific examples. He says, the insults, the hardships, the persecutions and difficulties or calamities, whichever your translation does. Do you identify with that? So let's break those down just really quickly. What are the insults that you get? Well, I think as Christians sometimes when people think they are clever, they think they're clever when they make fun of our faith. Or they make fun of our lifestyle as Christians and they try and trip us up with words that either make us look stupid or weird or inconsistent. Do Do you know people that are like this, that are going to twist everything you say around to get a good laugh from their friends? Paul knew about this. Jesus knew about this. What about you and I? What about hardships? And some of us get this, you know, where situations are forced upon us and we feel trapped. An example might be that you work in a particular job, but either work colleagues or employers know how to cause you problems. Like working a shift on a Sunday when you said, hey, can I have Sundays off because I like to go to church. But you know that if you don't do it, they'll sack you. And hardships just come in and make life hard. In a sense, this is similar to persecutions. Persecutions are similar to hardships. But actually, where wounds or abuses or painful circumstances or acts of prejudice or exploitation come from people because of your Christian faith or your Christian moral commitments. It's when you're not treated fairly and you get a raw deal. And then difficulties come along, or calamities, or trouble. The idea is one of pressure, or crushing, or being weighed down, where circumstances that tend to overcome you with stress and tension, and you can see no way out. I think we can all identify with those things. And this is what Paul is talking about. Just to be clear here, these are not sinful things that we do, nor is it bad choices, nor are they things that we can necessarily avoid. But this is my encouragement to us today. Don't be fooled by the things of this world that tells you you are getting it right if you are rich or healthy, or there's no troubles at work, or horrid people that make your life a misery. Instead, the flip side is this, that if you are exercising weakness in these situations, and you're not the one to fight back and be strong and try and be an overcomer, but actually rather accepting only God can bring about the real changes, then that God's grace is sufficient for us, because it says his power is made perfect in our weakness. So as we saw last week, living the Christian life is not about avoiding things, but instead to learn to be content, whatever the circumstances. And our circumstances for all of us are going to be very different over the coming weeks and the coming months. Now, if you look at verse 10, I don't know what it says in your versions. The NIV UK version says, I delight in weakness. The New King James Version says, I take pleasure in infirmities. The Good News Translation says, I'm content with weakness. And really, that comes back to that godly contentment, as we saw last week, that only comes about when we put our trust in what God or Jesus or Holy Spirit can do through us, rather than us being anxious about what we think we're capable of. The father and the son in the reading today had got to the end of themselves and realized only God or Jesus could help them. So what about you and I today? What can we take away from this passage or these passages? Look, I think it comes down to this. In your weakness comes your strength. And in your anxiousness comes your trust. In your unbelief comes your belief. And don't let anyone strike you down or put you down because of afflictions, because in a sense, they are but illusions that try and trap us into worldly thinking. I love the verse in Romans 12:2, and it says this, great verse to learn if you want this, Romans 12:2. And it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. And I think this is all about that perspective change that we spoke about last week. If we look at stuff with a different perspective, with a heavenly perspective, then our minds will think differently. And then we no longer approach God saying, God, if you can, but rather, Lord, I believe you can do this. I believe. So my prayer for all of us today as we're looking at maybe an extended period of being shut in together, pick up your Bibles, read through the Gospels again. And if you've never done it, there's plenty of stuff online. I'll provide some links to it. It can even be read to you by John Suchet. And work out what is it that this God of the Bible is all about. And if you think it's hard and it's difficult and there's that moment of unbelief that kicks in, look, get to the end of yourself. In a sense, get over yourself. And as you go back to that message the other week where we looked at the Beatitudes, and right at the beginning, we have to just recognize, in a sense, we are that person that can do nothing for ourselves, and we extend the hand to God. And when you extend that hand to God, Father God, he comes and he reaches into our lives, and he doesn't leave us where we are. He comes with us into our lives, into our heart, and everything changes. The Father and the Son knew that. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief.
You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events, and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.